audience participation and then the non-physical.
The word of ION is incredible. You can't lose with ION. So we can take any great artist and slap them up against us because we're equal to that and on a new level.
But it's a strong disruptions. It's a strong. It's not the noise of Zappa and the many rhythms and complexity of the music. It's really like McLuhan said, the electric environment made many people drop out, like this
right.
tuning
yeah.
drop out. But this frequency is either say relaxed on the low or drop dead, not drop out. Really beyond the dropping out of just the system, is the dropping out of the environment.
Well, McLuhan said drop out and drop in. Ion is telling you to drop in also. Drop out of the porno.
Yeah, and it's a display with the dropping of the drops.
Right. So you're saying that our environment, Payday, is very strong. Is that what you said? Very strong.
Yes. I think Zappa was the porn of this environment.
Right.
Like, he wanted everybody to participate and be aware.
And go for the higher hypothesis.
And change the environment. Go vote. He said
right.
That's how you program the environment.
Be active, be creative, and to, on the LaRouche part, develop the hypothesis of the higher hypothesis. Always, you know, creating, thinking, noticing, pattern recognition is what McLuhan called it. And last week, or no, it was in a private session, Ion said there's a difference between the keys and patterns. Patterns is what you do normally, but getting the keys was a bit different. Maybe I'll have to play that later tonight, that little part. But, so here's Wally, who's competent to appreciate Frank. You have to realize nobody else, Dave was the only guy paying attention to Frank. Not many people. They were thrown by different aspects of Frank. You know what I mean? They only saw one part of the elephant, and if their personality didn't like it, they missed it. And because he didn't present his guitar playing so voluptuously in the first few albums, no one knew he could really play a guitar unless you were in L.A. and went to some of his concerts. So Wally begins with a quote from Lucretius. You know, he's an ancient philosopher on his book On the Nature of Things. It says, "It comes as a shock to our faltering minds to realize how little they know about the world." So he's saying, it comes as a shock to our faltering minds to realize how little they know about the world, says Lucretius. Then there's a quote from Frank Zappa on Uncle Meat album. This is in the booklet, Notes on the Uncle Meat album. Zappa says, "The words to the songs on this album were scientifically prepared from a random series of syllables, dreams, neuroses, and private jokes that nobody except the members of the band ever laugh at, and other irrelevant material." So he's saying, scientifically prepared from random series of syllables, dreams, neuroses, private jokes, and other irrelevant material. Now, that's either linked to the first four categories, or it's an additional thing. It's ambiguous, right? And other, but it does say other, irrelevant. They are all very serious, the words. So what he means? The words, I guess. They are all very serious and loaded with secret underground candy rock psychedelic profundities. In brackets, basically, this is an instrumental album. So he's talking about all these words, and they're very important. Then he says it's an instrumental album. So he's including music, I guess that's Sprexton or something, into the instrumental part. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Voice is an instrument.
Yeah, voice is an instrument. And then he has a quote from Ruben Zano. That's Ruben of Ruben and the Jets. June 1955. He apparently said, "The present-day Pachuco refuses to die." Remember how Varese said the present-day composer refuses to die? Well, Ruben, a cult victim of Lorenzar County, a Mexican who is devoted to the Pachuco and pop culture, and of course, you know, Roxy had to deal with that shit. Roxy was the Zappa of Mexico City, early 90s. She had this highfalutin, higher hypothesis kind of interest, but she had to hang out with pop culture, exactly like Zappa. Right, Roxy? You're actually the...
well, the thing is, things were morphing in a way that you cannot separate these environments
right.
so drastically.
Yeah, like people who saw you in the rock band in the early 90s in Mexico City would never know, just from the cliches of the rock nightclub environment, that woman up there playing the synthesizer or whatever you played was a little kid at 10 years old hanging out with these senior Gurdjieffians listening to wacky electronic music. You can't put those two together, Roxy. It's pretty good. It's just like when people walked into a club and saw Zappa in the late 60s, they didn't know that he was a composer since he was 14.
And where did I end up with this senior Opinel?
That's right. You end up
talking about...
talking about repenting. Repenting about everything. We're repenting the history of humanity. Retracing and repenting, right? So here's Wally. So he says, we all live inside a plastic balloon which Frank Zappa is trying to pop. Okay, so that means virtual reality. Virtual particles. We all live inside a plastic balloon which Frank Zappa is trying to pop. What has happened to music and American culture... excuse me. What has happened to music and American culture since the mother's invention have appeared as exterminating... Well, it's a question. What has happened to music and American culture since the mother's invention have appeared as exterminating angels? Now, that for Ionism. For almost 4 years now, Zappa has been assaulting our ears and our sensitivities. People have been getting turned off by his antics and on, turned off and on by his music. So turned off by his antics and on by his music. But first things first, says Dave Wally. Zappa is no freaked out psychedelic acid head. His band is composed of consummate musicians, and their music is vital, alive, and important. Everything the mothers do, right down to the multi-tracked belches, has infinite purpose. Zappa is a media master. Now there it is, satellite conductor. Zappa is a media. Remember, Zappa McLuhan defines the Lucifer, the prince of the air, as a media master. So Zappa is a media master. Not only can he make music, but he can produce it so that it sounds the way he wants it to sound. He's a gifted musical eclectic, but he and his band have problems relating to the established cultural scene. that's Dobstown and Irondom, right? We have problems relating to the average day of people's lives. So then Wally says, the mothers are artists then who have bridged the self-defensive gap, which is separated and continues to separate the cultural officials, New York Review of Books, Partisan Review, and Tulane Drama Review, from the self-proclaimed guerrilla freak culture. So he's looking at the old POBs, the print-oriented bastards, and how they're still defensive. They're still trying to prop up old visual space Gutenberg art values, and they ain't taking on the present. They're not participating like Frank is. That's a good semi-McLuhan point he's making here, right? The mothers are artists then who have bridged, they're successful, have bridged a self-defensive gap which is separated and continues to separate the cultural officials, New York Review of Books, Partisan Review, and Tulane Drama Review, from the self-proclaimed guerrilla freak culture. For the past 20 years, a wall has been erected between the official culture makers and culture... I have not read this before and... 50 years, 40 years, so I'm going to stumble through it. For the past 20, and I ain't going to prepare for this show, right? No way am I going to sit around and prepare like a normal working jerk, so put up with my improvisations here. For the past 20 years, a wall has been erected between the official culture makers and culture advocates, dash, the critic who presumes to measure and judge culture, and the artist. Okay, so he's saying a wall... between those who do the reviewing, the official culture makers and culture advocates, the critic who presumes to measure and judge culture, and the artists. So there's a problem between the artist and the critic. There has been quite a self-conscious effort on the part of these judges to relegate the mothers of invention to the freak file. These purveyors of taste, those beautiful people who write passionately about the movement, that means the radical student movement, the activist movement, the war, Vietnam War, and the new morality, have a disturbing habit of refusing to practice what they preach. See, this is where Zappa was the litmus test. He exposed what you really were. And Wally knows this. You know what I mean? And realize, I haven't read this in 40 years. But it's good already. He's taking a simple version of McLuhan's themes in Through the Vanishing Point. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's Dave Wally. He knows he's a great critic because he's daring to deal with Frank, and nobody else is. So he's expressing his grievance about how they didn't appreciate Frank. He says they are hung up with the iconoclastic culture of the 20s. See? They're stuck back there with Duchamp and those guys. They are hung up with the iconoclastic culture of the 20s and the radical overground culture of the 30s with the music and satire of Brecht and Weill, W-E-I-L-L, Kurt Weill. They seem to state with no uncertain... Remember when Frankowski, who writes for this magazine, was shocked that Frank knew nothing about Bertolt Brecht? This is the very point. It's almost like Wally's making a subtle critique of Frankowski. They seem to state with no uncertain conviction that the music of today is less incisive in its social criticism than in the 30s. They speak about cultural history and culture as a reflection of society, but refuse to look at the present with the same perceptions as they minutely examine the past. All right, where do Fearless Frank and his Merry Men fit into this great cultural controversy? So, great opening point there, right?
Yeah.
You like this?
Yes.
It's very impressive for me that McLuhan saw this, and he called this situation the global theater, where everybody has to put the costumes, different roles, and
right.
He says the stripper puts on the audience by taking off their clothes.
Yeah, their private dance.
And everybody, all members of society, play in a common orchestra. He's really talking about this satellite conductor role, and he says in page 272 that the manager, the conductor, creates a vortex of power by putting his organization as an audience. The game changes from manipulation to participation.
Awesome.
And and he also talks, for me was very intriguing, because he has this term, the un-person.
Yes, the un-person.
260.
That happened to Khrushchev.
Sounds like the person who are not. The un-person is the inevitable result of improved communication.
Yeah, look at that. Now, what do you mean by un-person?
All barriers of private consciousness are overcome.
Woo,
the resulting collective form of awareness is tribal dream.
That's Rye returning to essence, the original separateness. You see how I could see related to what Worcester was saying? And that point, Khrushchev was an example of an unperson, you know, head of the Soviet Union, but they had to change policy, and Brezhnev came in 64, and I think Khrushchev, I think he lived a few years, but he was not talked about. He was erased from cultural history in the Soviet Union. He was made an unperson. Okay, let me, just to make sure we finish this, let me carry on. I'll stop every now and then for when you want to say something, either of you. So here's Dave wrestling the same problem that, now LaRouche talks about science and art are not divided. But the New York Review books have the old-fashioned divisions, you know what I mean? They're POBs.
Yeah.
The mothers of invention, for all their put-on obnoxiousness, and he puts in brackets, studied, I might add. In other words, they plan it. It's a studied theatrical obnoxiousness. And healthy disrespect for the establishment. You know, the mothers of invention, for all their put-on obnoxiousness and healthy disrespect for the establishment, are very much vital as artists in this culture. Some of their music is in the 50s folk medium, in brackets, a cappella pimple rock. So that's the doo-wop. And in hyphen, what better way to describe a culture than by using the culture's music to do it? 50s rock, to those out there who subconsciously intellected it, to those who dug it, was part of our cultural heritage. We were taught about morality, quote, bawling in the backseat of daddy's car, unquote. About greasers and good guys, about true love, sigh, in brackets sigh, and other delights. They learned this from the 50s rock and roll. We accepted it, or better, endured it. But we never thought of it as a potential cultural watering place. See? The average person, or even average artist, didn't think of putting on that ridiculous, stupid teen music and make it a cultural watering place. In one sense, the mothers... So Zappa took the present, like McLuhan advocates, and put on the present. In one sense, the mothers used this type of music to comment about the scene, capital S, relating it to the whole. The mothers minutely dissect those hidden years when we were all so pure. Mother's music makes you think. It is savage in its satire, but for some reason, no one listens. In brackets, no commercial potential? Then Wally says, hardly. The mothers hit the audience right between the eyes, but they do it in funny ways. They hype themselves, or better, Frank comes on and says, in effect, quote, don't listen to us. We suck, you suck, it all sucks, unquote. But no matter how outrageous they are, you are forced to listen and marvel. Zappa's a con artist. Now, Don Thiel wrote in his book on McLuhan, his first book in 1971, that McLuhan was a con artist. And McLuhan objected to this, and there was a lot of debate, and that's covered in the appendix at the end of Don Thiel's second book called The Virtual March McLuhan, second book on McLuhan. But the point here is that Dave is calling Zappa a con artist, which is a compliment. Zappa's a con artist of the best sort. In brackets, you wouldn't listen to his band or buy his records if they came out in powder blue tuxedos with gold lame lapels, purple pants, and duck-ass haircuts, would you? So he's a con artist of the best sort. In brackets, you wouldn't listen to his band or buy his records if they came out in powder blue tuxedos with gold lame lapels, purple pants, and DA haircuts, would you? End of bracket. He wants to get your attention because he knows his music is America. With his plastic guitar, with his plastic cars, eye makeup, hairspray, and day glow vaginas. Wait, look at that. Day glow vaginas. He comes from L.A., the forest lawn of the soul. There was a famous movie about the funeral business in L.A. made by some mid-60s director, Tony somebody, about forest lawn. He comes from L.A., which is a cemetery, a fashionable highbrow cemetery. He comes from L.A., the forest lawn of the soul. He is the product of and the reaction to it. But few listen to him because he's so strange and he farts around on stage, spending 30 minutes tuning up and then giving the audience a finger for enduring it all so patiently. Under all that hair lurks the heart of a super capitalist, one who doesn't want to exploit you as much as turn you on to the scene at its obnoxious worst. Everyone loves to laugh at the plastic hippie, the plastic people, but no one likes to realize that they're laughing at themselves. In brackets, no commercial potential? What? Question mark. What? Zappa makes you squirm, and rightly so. No one is perfect. Zappa forces you to examine what you hear and know. He keeps at you with insidious questions interspersed in his music like, quote, are you listening? Or what's so funny, shithead? Or wow, are you ever lame? As a result, the audience fights back in shocked self-defense. At a recent Fillmore East appearance, Frank introduced a piece by Charles Ives, famous American historical composer, scored for the Mothers. So Frank introduced a piece by Charles Ives, scored for the Mothers of Inventions Orchestra, with, quote, this is how he introduced it. This is a piece of shit we worked on in, this is a piece of shit we worked on in Miami for a few days. So he's presenting, you know, so-called highbrow culture with the same disdain as lowbrow culture. When you, Roxy, when you were at some, whatever you did in your art world in Berlin, did you, as cultural designer of the costumes, did you walk out or write in the program, this is a bunch of shit I worked on in between ignoring my ex-husband? Did you say that? No.
Frank Zappa always said that the freak is needed to, the anomaly is needed for progress. And the
I do that. You're mumbling or your sound's not great. What did you say? What did he say?
Yes, because he's presenting himself as a freak, but this freak is the needed gap for progress. He always said...
The mutation. That's right. You need mutation.
There must be
a mutation,
an anomaly.
Yeah,
because this freak is the thing that enables things to progress.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Out of the convention, out of the ordinary.
The medium, out of the norm, tools and cliches of a society, there has to be a mutation, which is often a new technology, which mutates the old medium. And,
yes, and I like how McLuhan calls that the rebels without a clue.
That's right.
He's saying humans always had the amazing power of communication, the word,
yeah,
speech, that is also not only the word that we think in language, but all the techniques, all the mediums. And he says we also have the ability to put different roles and to create these environments and to put them on as our clothes, all these different environments.
Right. As our clothing.
And
which is a major theme in Finnegan's Wake. He just
it's already showing us the Ionic ideas of the men as God. That,
right. That's right.
The man that can manifest and
okay.
Where is his environment?
Right. So let me continue here so I get this done next 10 minutes. Then he says, but Zappa and his mothers, okay, so when Zappa said, this is a piece of shit we worked on in Miami for a few days, unquote, Wally writes, the audience was stunned. No one knew what to do when it was over. I didn't know whether Frank was putting it on or, you know, the audience was stunned. No one knew what to do when it was over. Okay, but Zappa and his mother's invention challenged the whole structure of the intellectual establishment. See, not just music. He's fighting against the narrow-minded musicologist come cultural historian who insists that modern music and social criticism must be unheard, that only the cognoscenti, the degreed and university-affiliated composer is valid. For these unhappy and misguided few, the measure of an artist's statements is proportional to the obscurity to which it is relegated. So the more obscure, the better, says the academia. The longer an artist starves and subsists on sparsely attended but heavy... Now, this is exactly Roxy's world. So you got sick of this. The longer an artist starves and subsists on sparsely attended but heavily critiqued concerts, the more valid and incisive his statements are. That's your world, right, Roxy?
Yes, because Zappa saw what McLuhan sees, that... these environments are like the dead sets of a movie.
Right.
It's just illusion, but they're already completely obsolete, so there is no point in engaging in this type of specialized
okay.
environment or education anymore.
Exactly. Wally says, the academics, what they are really saying is that art isn't art until it has been given the special seal of approval which certifies real insight, real in quotes. These critics retreat into their wobblies, which is anarchists of the 20s. These critics retreat into their wobblies mythology, the Spanish Civil War, the radicalization of the American labor movement, and the surrealist and dadaist period in European culture, and ignore their own American culture. Now, Bob Dylan was attracted to the Wobblies when he first went into the folk world in Greenwich Village, so Dylan was a victim of that meme at that point. Wally says, these snobs, they cannot see the worth of any artist until he has either safely starved his way into death's other kingdom or comes hat in hand to them pleading, quote, please certify my art, give me your approval, please say I'm valid, unquote. Then he says the album, Zappa's album, Uncle Meat makes no such pleas. It speaks in a loud voice. But on to the review. So that's his introduction to the Zappa phenomenon. And now he reviews the album, and I don't know if he'll finish it. Uncle Meat, composed between October 67 and February 68, makes the mind boggle. It is superbly engineered and produced, and is full of those ideas which are anathema or a curse to official minds. If the movie is of the same quality as the incidental music, it should be a real cultural event. Uncle Meat is primarily an instrumental album. The songs are gems set into its intricate framework. And then it lists a few of the songs. Dog Breath, Uncle Meat Variations, and Cruising for Burgers. They talk about the American dreams of the 50s. Hot rods, baby shoes strung on rearview mirrors. In brackets, one state, I forget which one, gets so uptight that it passed an ordinance against baby shoes and padded dice so displayed on the rearview mirror. Also, phony IDs for drinking, hubcap stealing. It's a reexamination of lost innocence. And remember, it's parallel to Room of the Jets. So he did it with Lumpy Gravy and We're All for the Money were a pair. Absolutely Free and Freakout were a pair. Or there was a pair within Freakout because they had two disc album, and then now you got Uncle Meat, you know, parallel to Room in the Jets coming out at the same time. He says, it's a reexamination of lost innocence. In brackets, actually, it's enough to make you break out. I think he means in pimples. Mr. Green Jeans, another song, is an updated version of Henry Miller's essay, The Staff of Life, wherein Miller dissects America's culture by eating its bread. Frank's vision is more to the point. And then he quotes from the album Notes in capital letters, deliciousness, nutritiousness, worthlessness. Carolyn would have a problem with the word worthlessness there. Ian is for deliciousness, Carolyn's for nutritiousness, and Dobbs is for worthlessness. So there's a mixture of Ion, Carolyn, and Bob in the three phrases, the three words in capital letters and the notes of Uncle Meat. Uncle Meat, all about meat. Electric Aunt Jemima.
Flavor ice cream.
Yes. And I don't know if Zappa sings about ice cream. It's hard to recall anything. He quotes the song, Electric Aunt Jemima is a song of sexual/gastronomical abandon. While Sleeping in a Jar is a lyric of artificial inseminatory love stating, quote, Mom and Dad are sleeping in a jar. The jar is under the bed, unquote. The master of the song cycle, such as it is, the song called The Air cops off a Platters type arrangement. Platters 50s band group steals off a Platters type arrangement, compounds it with obscene rhymes like, quote, the air escaping from your pits, the hair escaping from my teeth, and, unquote. And blah, blah ends with some purposely obscure band in-jokes. Purposely obscure. And he says, very funny. Six songs which cover the gamut. Love, what is this? So he's saying these six songs cover the gamut, love and marriage, sex and the automobile, the plastic culture at its transparent best. The music in Uncle Meat defies description. It takes all current and not-so-current styles and turns them around. It would take me too long to go into all its nuances because I would bore the hell out of you with name-dropping and I would bore myself to death with slavish researching. How the mothers play this music, though, deserves mention. The mothers have every right to be considered a symphony orchestra. They play together, they have all the components of any symphony, wind, strings, brass, and percussion, and their music is scored for symphony. Would it make any difference if the New York Philharmonic called itself the Eureka Symphony Orchestra? Actually, it's the Yumika. Yumika, abnuchial Yumika Symphony Orchestra on Lumpy Gravy, but I'm not sure if he means that. Or he means something else. But he says, would it make any difference if the New York Philharmonic called itself the Eureka Symphony Orchestra? Of course not. The quality is still there as well as the musicianship, formal or informal wear notwithstanding. But perhaps I'll try to state just some of the musical styles present in Uncle Meat. Well, he lists a few. The Coasters, that's R&B, Platters, John Coltrane, Wallingford Reiger, I don't know who that is, Wallingford Reiger, Ruben Sano, that's the Jets, Hindemith, Bartok, and many more. In brackets, see Freakout, the mother's first album, for a complete listing. Close bracket. A good example of a well-developed mother's piece is King Kong on side four, a theme with variations by Don Preston, Motorhead Sherwood, Bunk Gardner, and altogether now, the mother's ensemble. The piece is a whole side, 60 minutes long, aesthetically pleasing to modern jazz freaks or freaks in general. Special mention is herewith made of Ian Underwood, the group's sex symbol. Now, what was interesting, when Carolyn was in med school, she befriended Ian Underwood's nephew. Cousin. He actually went to Dalhousie. Special mention is herewith made of Ian Underwood, the group's sex symbol, a virtuoso who plays electric organ, piano, harpsichord, celeste, clarinet, and alto and baritone sax. His shining hour comes, no pun intended, on Ian Underwood Whips It Out, recorded live in Copenhagen. I was really amazed by his control over his instrument, a fine musician. Uncle Meat is a potpourri. It even has some recitative pieces, I guess vocal pieces, word pieces, added for giggles. The voice of Cheese is a rap by the original Susie Cream Cheese about what got into her. Our bizarre relationship is concerned with the sex life of the plastic straight and his relationship to the groupie scene in Frank's L.A. pad. Another one's called, if we'd all been living in California. That is a nostalgic look at life with the mothers and their money hassles. And then in brackets, Ian Underwood's anguished plea for, quote, just 2 months of this good money is priceless. 2 months of this good money on quote is priceless. All these pieces give voice to the inner workings of Zappa's imagination, spoken message slash comments injected into an already pungent musical satire and experimentation. I got 1 minute, okay? Can you take give me one
yes,
minute?
Maybe I would like to read only the quote from the page 14.
Okay.
Like today.
Yep.
He says, when a man-made environment circumvents the entire planet, moon, and galaxy, there is no alternative to total knowledge programming of all human enterprise. Any form of imbalance proves fatal at electric speed, with the superpowers released by the new technological resources representing the full spectrum of the human senses and faculties. Survival now will seem to depend upon the extension of consciousness itself as an environment. This extension of consciousness has already begun with the computer and has been anticipated with our obsession with ESP and occult awareness. So he's saying from the phonetic alphabet and the Gutenberg galaxy, the education was fragmented, and then with the electric environment, we needed to start the orchestrated programming, the satellite conducting, because the new coming environment of the ionic technologies demand this extension of consciousness and this occult awareness, the awareness of the mystery landscape. And I find it very amazing that he saw that we have to prepare to be these satellite conductors, and
right.
that this mystery landscape was the next thing, this last extension of consciousness.
You know what? Remember what Ian says. I fucking influenced these fuckers back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Writing a Bob script. But
yes, because it was just like the thing, we can use these tools, like all the persons you put in the chart,
yeah.
to overlay with what you're saying and what Dion is saying.
Right.
And the real education that Ion is telling us, the real science and the real knowledge.
Mm-hmm. The real art.
That is about really learning about how your body functions and what is thought and
your many bodies
and the frequencies and
right.
how
now,
to play in this ionic orchestra and take turns in conducting.
Right. Now that quote you read, wouldn't you like to get all the friends, all your intellectual friends you've met through your life to read that and pay attention to that, what you just read?
Yes, but I think, like you said, many people that claim to be McLuhan specialists don't get the real deeper
right.
meaning of all these things. They talk about the global village and the global theater and this, but they don't realize what that meant
right.
in the environment and in the situation that we are experiencing now. And the only way to, like Ion said, make sense of all these different threats, so many weird information every payday.
Every this
every
DJ,
person evoking.
Every song Bob plays is the great DJ.
Yeah, all these little crumbs.
Yeah.
And how to make this new song with all these little notes.
Right. And remember, each one of these guys on the chart, Zappa, he's in the Holopathy TV, they're figures for media environments that people are engaging. And the media environments, the analog media environments, are the content of the Android meme. So you want to look at the left-hand column where it says radio, TV, computer, satellite. The mixture of those environments is what's talking to you. And the chemical body of Zappa and McLuhan are providing glimpses of what's talking to you.
Yes, and to attend this concert is like the ultimate experience, because
yeah,
you are being transformed, the environment at all levels, and these things are being talked about as they are happening. So this is really
impressive. Gene says, a little while ago, says, "This is great, Bob." So she's listening. So there's the audience. "This is great." Okay.
Well, I have to go, but I think more or less the most important things have been said.
Yes, by you.
Just study the chart. Everything is in the chart.
But wait a minute, Roxy. Can you state another minute? Let me finish the article. We'll talk about it next week, but let me just get it to complete the words, okay?
Yes.
Just I'll read it fast. So he's talking about Underwood, his anguish plea that there's just 2 months of this good money. If we can just get two months of this good money and we get somewhere, that's priceless, says Dave Wally. All these pieces give voice to the inner workings of Zappa's imagination, spoken message and comments injected into an already pungent musical satire and experimentation. Then he says, what does all this say? The mothers of invention, in spite of themselves, are the real voices of this culture. Now, you have to realize how fucking, this is a pretty amazing thing to say, are the real voices of this culture. As ugly as they sound, as obscene and nerve-jarring as they come on, as much as they defecate on the system they work through, in spite of all this, they are valid, vital, and need to be heard more widely. They are hardly ever played on FM radio, and never on AM radio, because they step on too many toes, rearrange too many minds, upset too many decent people, in brackets, mostly advertisers and Peoria shut-ins. And he says, fuck decency. This is a critic. Fuck decency. Music is music. He gets all worked up. Those people who cringe when Zappa belches should peddle their sensitivities elsewhere. The culture vultures should take off their shades and quit hiding behind their pseudo-academic temporizing and listen to the mothers and their music. They are artists in the largest sense of the word. Even if Ned Roram of the New York Review of Books doesn't cream over them like he does over the Beatles, he should still get the wax out of his ears. The mothers mean business. They hit you where it hurts, but they are living, changing, and important artists in an age which needs everything you get to get straight. In the words of a famous Italian mother, the leader of the pack, I'll leave you to your ears. Quote, we would like to encourage everyone who hears to join us. Hears in italics. Like Christ. And then Wally
amazing.
Says, he ends his review, freak out, it's good for you. Did you just say it's amazing, Roxy?
Yes.
Very good review. Excellent review in 69 when, you know, Bert's grandfather and parents never even knew this was happening. The blacks did not know Bert. Neither did the whites. But talk about an invisible environment, and Dave Wally got it, and I knew the guy. I'm proud to know the guy. Maybe I fucking influenced him. Maybe I wrote this. I probably wrote this. We'll end on that note.
Yes, because as Lois and Joyce saw what an artist really is the therapist that is balancing the perception. There is another quote from McLuhan about the vanishing point, how he says to go out of the maelstrom now, you have to do this type of repentance and go through the vanishing point.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand how art is always showing you the hidden ground, and it's the only thing that could help before with the other songers to balance the perception and the situation of men adapting to the new environment. But now art is not enough.
That's right. And media aren't enough. The Android meme is not even enough. The Android meme never thought it would get obsolesced by me. I surprised the heck out of it.
The only thing that can help is the mutation of the blood.
Yes, the mutation of the blood. Join the vampires. Let's take vampirism back from the vampires. They got it all fucking wrong. They don't know how to fucking live off the blood. They've ruined the fucking blood industry, and we're taking it back from the vampires.
Well, they were different attempts of taking the power, but like all these persons in the Loire Valley were into wine because they thought that was the thing.
Well, they all had heard about the label. They all been affected by that label, the mystery label. So are you biking to work? What's the weather like?
Well, here it's always sort of rainy and cold.
So do you drive your bike in that weather?
Yes, I prefer to bike. I actually like
it. Good. All right. Well, thanks a lot, and very good quotes. You're doing great homework and really good McLuhan quotes. I've never had anybody in dialogue with me quote great McLuhan quotes back to me.
There's more LaRouche, and it's amazing how LaRouche, I was seeing they're going a lot to China now.
Yes, they're very involved
and
in China.
And they think the solution of the situation will be to connect China like with a type of transportation that brings all the goods from China to Europe, and to start industry again in many areas that were deindustrialized.
That's right.
Maybe the Europeans are going to become the cheap workers.
Yeah.
For China.
That's right. Right. And there's one of the holy offices, LaRouche, miming Ion more than he realizes. He doesn't know how true he is by talking about China like that.
Yes, and in fact today, Macron is talking about Taoism and China.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that he could see that before that point.
Yeah, you look at all the materials that these guys create, Zapp and McLuhan LaRouche, and it's all orchestrated into a cosmic, intergalactic, huge painting by Bob. I've turned
yes,
into
they are, and it's really, when one gets these connections and these levels of what they really were talking about, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good. So let's play some Zappa music, take a break, and then Bert and I will deal with the hoi polloi. Bye. Thank you very much.
Take care.
I'll come later. Maybe Ion is there.
Yes.
Very late.
Yep.
Bye.
Okay, see ya. Thanks a lot. Bye. Now, what could I play? Let's go over to the Zappa part of our inventory. We have a whole Zappa section, which actually has... Also, Bessel Goodman in it, and we would try to pick something we haven't heard much before. Actually, we've played all of it. It's hard to find something, but let's try this one. Subcutaneous, I think it has more words. Subcutaneous something. I don't have the full title. Oh, wait a minute. Did I play it? Yeah.
Thank you. What do you do? You join the mothers, and you end up working for Zappa, and he makes you be a creep. You could have played the blues with John Mayall, or far-out exciting jazz with blood, sweat, and tears.
You really think so?
Look, no one will ever take you seriously after this. How can they take you seriously? In this business, you either got to play the blues or sing with a high voice.
You're right. I never should have joined the mothers. Why, I could be a star now.
Yeah. the wind blows, is fine with me. Any way the wind blows, it don't matter to me. Cause she treats me like she loves me, and she never makes me cry. I'm gonna stick with her till the day I die. She's not like you, baby, she would never ever lie. Anyway, the wind blows.
And that, that was a piece from Uncle Meat, the album we read the review by David Wally of, called Project X. And we started off with a 19-minute piece called Subcutaneous Peril. Subcutaneous means under the skin. And then we had a little verbal vignette about the mistake of being in Frank Zappa's band. And then before Project X and after that vignette, we heard Anyway the Wind Blows. So that Subcutaneous piece, that was really good. I haven't heard that ever. Once or twice in my life or something. But you like that, Bert? That 19-minute
yes,
piece?
Yes, I did. Yes.
That was 1971.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, there's a few albums of that period. Weasels Rip My Flesh, Chunga's Revenge, Burnt Weenie Sandwich, which were collections of stuff recorded in the late 60s before the band broke up. And the way Zappa plays guitar in those albums is you can hear that sound in this thing, which according to the list says it was released in 71 or recorded in 71. That would be after he reunited the Mothers or formed a new band. But it's got that really neat guitar sound that we hear in Chunga's Revenge, which Eliza
yes.
likes.